were expecting that there would be a avalanche. I mean a a media avalanche against Amy Coney Barrett. But it hasn't materialized yet. Now, I'm not complaining about that. Please do not misunderstand. There were some questions that were asked of the president yesterday and a rare Sunday afternoon presser that he did from the White House. And we have some audio, some digital media files from that. Plus, we have, we'll replay for you if you didn't catch Amy Coney Barrett's full acceptance speech. We have it. I don't know if we'll play it this hour or next hour, but it's worth listening to because there's, she obviously is a very keen observer. And like many of us may have witnessed these grueling and unprecedented and demonic previous Supreme Court nomination processes that Democrats have put the last couple of, the last nominee, Brett Kavanaugh certainly, but Clarence Thomas and Judge Robert Bork, another shrew, and with an eye cast firmly on history, when she accepted the president's nomination and gave that speech outside in the Rose Garden on Saturday, she covered a lot of bases, dotted a lot of I's, and crossed a lot of T's in basically acknowledging, I know what you guys are going to do. I know you're going to come after me. So before it can be a big aha, and by the way, we covered the announcement right here on the Crusade Channel Saturday afternoon. We were live. None of you were. KVT was the only one that was in the chat room on Saturday and was hanging out with us. But me and Mr. Barrett and Mr. Justin were here on Saturday for the very historic occasion. I think that one of the things that is going on here is that the libtard demonic left has not figured out how and on what they're going to assault America's new sweetheart, Amy Coney Barrett. There's a string on Twitter. Let's just talk about some of the optics of this, which makes it difficult. You know, when you got a guy like Brett Kavanaugh, then you can kind of get away with doing some of the things that they got now. Not that they should have gotten away with it, but because it was a male. But when you have the the prospect of this woman. Now, here's what makes a difference. Who started the Twitter account, or not account, the Twitter thread with tweet your large Catholic family pictures? Because people like them pictures. So someone, because the first libtard thing that they're going to ultimately go after her on, and we got a little bit of a preview of this, is that she has seven children, and that's like six too many. You're only supposed to have one and a couple of cats. Maybe two on the high side and a couple of cats. And that's it. So the fact that she has seven children is something that does not square with Malthusian wacko reasoning and thinking. Well, they don't reason, so... with population control COVID Karens. So there is a there's going to be something that there's one thing right there that she's going to be out of sync with. Now, so she falls out of she busts the mold. in that regard with the large family. But here's the other part of the large family. The oldest one of the seven is 16. So that means that they're all still either schooling age or preschooling age. Like the littlest, the smallest one, the little girl, the one I saw, you know, they had reporters camped outside their home on Saturday. And when the family got into the Dodge Caravan minivan, I thought that was funny. I really, not funny, not funny, ha ha, not funny, queer. I mean, funny. And as much as I don't know what the with the libs that were camped out on the lawn with the satellite dish trucks were, I don't know what they were expecting, but out comes this beautiful family. They're all very well dressed in suits and long dresses and what have you. And the little girl, the littlest girl, it's a boy. The youngest is a boy, but the next one up is a girl. In age, pretty sure. There's a picture of him right there. That the one right there next to the on the far left. Now the little one looks like first grade maybe at the oldest. I think he's five or six. So you have children that are schooling age. The oldest one is the adopted one from Haiti. And she's 16, so she'd be in high school. So, you know, you look at that that family picture there, and this is a real problem for libtards left, for the libtard left. There's seven non-abortions right there. There's seven beautiful, alive human children. That's... How do you go to war against that? This is what I'm saying. So, who's the nutbag doctor? Dr. Eber, this alleged doctor out there talking about how the only reason they adopted the Haitian kids is so they could colonize them and treat them like pets. Funny, I must have missed his criticism of Brad and Angelina Jolie. Dr. Ibram X. Kendi. I must have missed his criticism. Brad and Angelina Jolie, Charlize Theron, Madonna. Who else is the...
Sandra Bullock.
Oh, Sandra Bullock.
Meg Ryan.
And
Charlize Theron, she even went double whammy because...
And changed the sex. Changed the gender of one of them. So it's very fashionable in Hollywood to adopt children that are not of your race, you see. And there was this piece that this doc, somebody asked this guy, this clown, a fair question and said, so you're saying that in all cases, if white people adopt black children, in all cases, that's racist. And that's their built-in racist desire to colonize blacks. And instead of backing off the earlier mistake, Dr. Ibram Kendi says yes. Pretty much says yes. Yeah, yes, that's the case. This guy's like a blue check mark. Rock star, revered thinker, if you want to, if that's even fair to say that the man thinks, thinker for the far left, for your average pinko commie. Well, look at that picture in the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat of the Coney Barrett, well, of the Barrett family. And put yourself in the position of your average vicious family and child-hating wacko feminist Who wants to go to war against that? Because there's nothing in the judicial record that you're going to get her on. And as I said on a Friday show, when or maybe I said this with Taylor Marshall when I was on with Doc Marshall, all she's going to say when she's asked a question about a case is, I already answered that question in my 2017 confirmation hearing for the appeals court. I can refer you to that transcript, Senator. So you're not going to get anything there. So what's the line of attack? Well, here, let me give you a preview. This is yesterday in the White House briefing room. As I said, rare Sunday afternoon press conference. Somebody brings this up, and here's Trump's response to the coming civil war of all of libtard left America versus the Catholic Church via Amy Coney Barrett.
My thought, though, on the religious situation with Amy, I thought we settled this 60 years ago with the election of John F. Kennedy. But seriously, they're going after her Catholicism. I will stand with her, fight with her, and we will make sure that these attacks stop, because they're really, it's unprecedented. They're basically fighting a major religion in our country. This is incredible. Fighting any religion, fighting Catholicism, is just incredible that they can be doing it.
So he has to say Catholicism twice. At least he got it right. At least he got it right. This is going to be the line of attack. Yesterday I saw, no, we don't have the audio from this because it's just so stupid. I didn't even feel like telling Maggie O'Connell that she ought to get it. But Cory Booker was, you people in New Jersey, a pox on all your houses. I know if you're listening to me right now, you didn't vote for that clown. And you're not responsible for him being in the U.S. Senate. This guy is, boy, what a piece of work he is. Now, we talked about him with Chris Ferrara after the nomination on Saturday, and after Coney Barrett, Amy Coney Barrett gave her acceptance speech. We talked about how Cory Booker had asked that line of questioning with Brett Kavanaugh about whether or not he drank beer on Tuesdays.